You have your Bible, we're in Romans. Romans chapter 8 as we journey together. I couldn't think of a better theme today to celebrate moms than to take you back to the pains of childbirth. Oh boy, don't we want to go there, right? Moms and childbirth. Yeah, if we're having trouble with that one again today, yeah, try it in PowerPoint. Moms, I know you put up with a lot just to get babies here. You put up with a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. I know you also put up with other kids and also husbands. Like the young mother who held her four-year-old son on her lap. And she told her son, you're going to have a new baby brother soon. He's going to be a joy to our family. You get to hold the baby's bottle and bring me a clean diaper as I need one. And you're going to be able to push the stroller around and all those things. And he finally got off her lap and stood in front of her and looked at her very seriously. And he said, and what are you going to be doing when I do all the work? So you have to put up with other kids, and you have to put up with your husband. Like the phone in the maternity ward rang, and a very panicky voice came through and said, this is Harold Smith, and I'm bringing my wife in. She's about to have a baby. And the nurse said, well, calm down just a minute. Tell me, is this her first baby? And, of course, the voice came back on the other end of the line. No, this is her husband. So you have a lot to put up with, moms. You really do. But it's such a God thing that we arrive at this passage today on our journey through Romans. All of us, moms in particular, let me introduce you to some birth cries in Romans chapter 8. We look at verse 18. And following the verses there. First, we find the birth cry of suffering. We're told in verse 18 that we're fellow heirs with, or verse 17, that we're fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Now, moms, you know about a guy named Braxton Hicks, right? Or at least we know about an event called Braxton Hicks. Braxton Hicks was a doctor in 1872 who came up who described a medical condition that we know as Braxton Hicks today. And, of course, it's the false labor pains. It's the tightening of the muscles that are preparing for birth. And each of you that have children have probably suffered at some point in time from those things. And you know, just because you endure some suffering pains and some moans and some groans from them doesn't mean that birth is imminent at that moment, but it's still on its way, right? It's just kind of a reminder to us, ladies, that birth is still on its way. Moms, when that precious little baby arrives, how long does it take for you to forget all about those cries of hurt and pain and how painful the process was? How long does it take? Not too long. Our perspective changes, right? When we get to hold that little life and that amazing miracle that God has created, all of a sudden that perspective begins to change and we begin to forget. And as process of time goes on, we forget more and more about the pain that was there. That same personality or same perspective is very helpful when it comes to suffering in general, and especially when it comes to suffering in Jesus' name. Paul knew what it was like to suffer for Jesus' sake. You know, in some of his epistles to the churches, he lists the things that he had endured. The shipwreck, the imprisonment, the beatings, the stonings, all the things that he had endured, the hunger, the the deprivation of all matter of life. And he even reminds us, though, in Philippians 1:29, that to you has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, we suffer through a lot of things, don't we? We suffer in a doctor's troubling diagnosis. We suffer the death of a loved one. We suffer through the loss of a job or a home that is broken. A lot of things bring suffering.
Tragedy,
disease,
loneliness,
injustice, persecution, affliction. A lot of things cause us to suffer. But also many suffer for his namesake, don't they? We look at our world and we find believers being killed all over the place. Someone has said, I don't know if they're correct or not, that there have been more suffering believers in the last 15 years than there were the last century. I don't know. Perhaps those who are suffering because of Christ's sake, we know that thousands upon thousands of believers are being killed all the time and are suffering. Many more are suffering because they follow Jesus. Where's God in all this suffering that we have to go through here? Where is he? He's right here getting the baby ready. All right? He's testing and he's bringing us through suffering and sorrow. He's purging us from sin. He's bringing us closer to him. He's helping us identify with Jesus. He's giving himself an opportunity for us to see his strength being shown in our weaknesses. He's doing that. Whatever we go through, we got to remember that there is glory ahead. That's what he says, right? I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. God's Holy Spirit is working in us to encourage us through tough times, to give us the glimpse of the glory that's coming. What glory? What glory is coming? The release from decay and death, the release from the confines of corruption and sin. 2 Corinthians 4:17 reminds us, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. There's just no comparison to what we're going through now to what we will experience later. Everything is in a minor key right now, but one day it's going to come to a glorious finale. One day the birth pains of suffering will be over and we'll get to totally enjoy all of God's new creation. Don't get frustrated as you see and experience suffering and pain today. It's all temporary. The pains of childbirth just indicate that a new beginning is on its way. The pains of suffering we endure just indicate to us that there's coming a better day. One day soon it will all give way to eternal glory. And all God's children can say about that, amen, right? Amen. So we see the birth cry of suffering. Secondly, we see the birth cry of creation. Verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. See, we're not the only ones that are suffering through birth pains. The whole of God's creation is as well, all right? The rest of God's creation was affected by the choice that Adam and Eve made in the garden. As a matter of fact, God said, hey, cursed is the ground because of you. The rest of God's creation has been affected by the choice that Adam and Eve made there. There was a time when the whole creation did not groan or experience pain. In the beginning, the creation was full of lush plants and trees and things that grew beautiful flowers and delicious fruit. But what happened? Did creation do anything? part of God's creation did something. Man fell into sin. And then the curse affected all of creation as well. Didn't it? You get out clearing some of your creation, you're going to find mesquite trees and thorns and bush nettles. Aren't they a blessing from God? Ouch! Boy, they're rough on us, aren't they? And they're just it's just symptomatic of the things, of the trials that creation is experiencing as well. When God finished His creation, it was a good creation, but today we'd have to say it's a groaning creation. Paul says it's subject to futility. Describes it in that way. That wording means disappointed misery.
Intent and purpose.
In other words, something that does. So God had His creation designed in a certain way to fulfill an intent and purpose. And yet, because of man's sin, it no longer does that. But God's not through. Aren't you glad God's not through? He has an eternal plan. Time is coming when the curse is going to be removed and all creation will be restored to its pristine splendor. There'll come a day, Isaiah says, when the mountains and the hills before you will break forth into singing and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Now, it's given animation to God's creation, but we understand the idea. The rest of creation is looking forward to a day, a coming day when all creation will be delivered from the presence of sin. He even puts it this way for us. The creation waits with eager longing. The wording there is a word that comes from the word head and the word to stretch out. So the idea is to stretch out the head forward. In other words, to get up on tiptoe and look. The prefix that's added to the word adds the idea of a fixed concentration. And so you get the idea, as the way Phillips renders it, the whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of God coming for His own, or coming with His own, and the sons of God coming into their own. So all of creation is up on tiptoe, just looking with expectation for what's coming. Doesn't that picture that pretty well for us? This is, of course, an animated position of creation, but it gives us the understanding that they're waiting for the day. Creation is waiting for the day when Jesus returns. I've been with many a family as they paced in front of a nursery window, and what are they doing? You know, they're waiting for that baby to emerge, waiting for that baby to be brought in the room, waiting for that first look at that newborn, watching for what they had been waiting on to come to reality. And that's what creation is doing. It is just watching and waiting for what it's been waiting on to come to reality. Revealing is what's coming. A revealing. It's the same word that's used for the book of Revelation. The revealing, revelation, the unveiling, if you will. The unveiling of God's Son, Jesus. Will also mean the unveiling of His other sons in His glory. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. The world doesn't really comprehend what a Christian really is. And I think the rest of creation is kind of slightly puzzled over you and I. Frail objects of God's creation, but yet objects of God's infinite love. And I think creation just kind of scratches its head and goes, we don't understand this. We don't understand how God can be so favorable toward, how God can look toward part of His creation, how God's heart can be designed toward part of His creation, man. But one day the groaning creation will become a glorious creation. All the world system, the rest of creation will see and understand how good God is toward us. So there is a birth cry of creation. And lastly, there's a birth cry of believers. Verse 23. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this we hope we're saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Volley back across the net from the whole creation back again to us, believers. Just like creation is groaning, waiting for that coming day, so do God's heirs. You and I, believers, we do. We groan because of the limitations of the body and the limitations and the temptations that plague our flesh, don't we? We groan. Some of us groan more than others. Some of us groan in the morning. Some of us groan at night. But we groan. And it seems like the more days that go by, the more we groan. We groan because we've not yet received our glorified bodies. You know,
Laura always says her.
And we always like to remind her, yours is going to be a little taller so you can get stuff off the shelf and not say, hey, honey, come get this for me. We groan because we've tasted the first fruits. And we know there's better things are coming. And it makes us want to receive a new body and want to live with Jesus and want to serve him forever. Yes, believers, we're already children of God. Amen. We're already his sons and daughters of the King if we've trusted in Jesus. But there's a coming time when our adoption will be complete. We get to live in our new home. We're already our sons and daughters of our Father. But there's coming a time when we get to go and live in our new home. And the time of groaning is just temporary. What's coming is called the redemption of our bodies. That's how he terms it here. Now, remember, we're told that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, that's not the way it works. We have to be changed. Not only spiritually, but we have to be changed physically. And the best hope today that we have to deal with the diseases of the body is now drugs or surgery. And not even chirogenics, freezing, not even that will replace the time at the resurrection when we shall all be changed. We have something the rest of creation doesn't have. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. The first fruits are the pledge, are the first installment of what God intends to do for us in the coming kingdom. As Christians, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, but the full fruits are coming. Still on their way. Meanwhile, what do? Well, we wait and we hope. We may not understand what we're going through or why we're going through it, but because of the Holy Spirit's encouragement, we can wait to see God work everything out to a glorious conclusion. Right in the middle of our current problems, our current circumstances, the Holy Spirit keeps turning our eyes toward the glory, the inheritance that is guarded for us in heaven. In the meanwhile, we have hope. And don't mistake that. Biblical hope is not, I hope so. You know, I'm just anticipate, you know, maybe it might be. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope says, I am confident. I have confident assurance. What do we have confident assurance of? What hope? Titus 2:13 says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear that verse again. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The best is yet to come, folks. The pregnancy will be over. And what had already been a life in vitro will become a manifested reality. We need to have our eye and our mind and our heart fixed on the goal of His coming glory. That hope is a bright vision. It just keeps on keeping on. Are you suffering under a load right now? Things pretty heavy on you? Would you let God encourage you today that you can endure all that stuff now because of what is coming? Hope is coming for this creation. Hope is coming for you. If you need to cry out in the meantime, cry out. That's all right. God hears, God understands, God loves, and God helps. If you're groaning, that's all right. It's to be expected in this world of sin. We're going to groan some. That's all right. Just remember that just like the pain of childbirth and the joy that comes when that little life emerges from the womb, there's coming a day when all the pain and all the suffering and all the trials will be gone. And our hope will become reality. Are you ready for that day? Can we pray? Lord, thank you for many of us
word of encouragement today.
Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of our suffering, pain, distress, in the midst of difficult circumstances, that you are still God. That you're still on your throne. That you still love us. That you still reach out to us. Lord, help us to look beyond where we are and what we're going through. To see your hand. And Lord, to have a hope, a confident assurance, a certain expectation. That one day things will change. That one day everything will change. As you come and set all things right. And Lord, give us hope to continue. Lord, we know your creation is waiting on that day. And Lord, as believers, we wait on that day as well. And Lord, help us to be busy in the meantime with hope and sharing that hope with those around us that need to hear, that need that hope while it's still called today. Lord, we wait before you in Jesus' name.